everyone. Welcome to the Mass Construction Show. I'm your host, Joe Kelly, and this is a podcast about all things construction in Massachusetts and beyond. Today's show is going to break from the normal interview style, and we're going to go with a topic-based show done solo by myself on cross-laminated timbers. Probably more properly said would be mass timber construction. A while back, when I first started, I mentioned that I might do topic-based shows, and of the things I listed, CLT seemed to get the most positive feedback, so we're going to do this first. The other thing you're probably going to notice is the intro to today's show was, at least the music portion, was a little longer. Everyone seems to like that, the other thing that intro, and interestingly enough, it's by a band out of New York, Sound Revolution. Check them out on iTunes. You can check out their Facebook page. I can put a link in the show notes as well if you want to find them that way. But what's interesting about them is their lead singer and guitarist is a CM grad from Wentworth. So pretty cool. Everyone likes that music. It's got a connection to construction industry, Massachusetts, Wentworth. So threw in a little extra there. If you guys like it, please go check it out. So mass timber, what is it? Well, the American Wood Council describes it as, quote, mass timber is a category of framing styles typically characterized by the use of large solid wood panels for wall, floor, and roof construction. So in essence, it is the structural components of the building is made out of wood. So obviously the foundation, probably basement, if it's slab on grade, it still needs to be concrete. But structural elements, I've seen it actually look like steel almost, where you have what appears to be like a heavy timber with steel connections on it, so you can bolt it together like steel frame, even have cross bracing, and then wood plank. Think about concrete plank, but instead they're made out of wood. Shocker, huh? It's all engineered. Then also there's roof framing members that engineered lumber. So it's just basically all the structural components that make up a building, and they call all those different components in that type of construction mass timber. What are some of the types of products that make up this umbrella of mass timber? As I mentioned before, cross-laminated timber often gets used interchangeably, and my guess it stems from the fact that cross-laminated timber is probably the most efficient and strongest of the mass timber products. So the bulk of construction that falls under mass timber would use cross-laminated timbers. So cross-laminated timbers is basically dimensional lumber laminated together, and the first layer is all in one direction, and then the next layer of dimensional lumber is turned the opposite direction, all laminated together, and then it can stack 5, 7, 9. It can be anywhere between 8 and 20 inches if you were doing a floor, roughly. I don't know the exact dimensions on the product. Then there's glue laminated timbers, which is same thing as cross laminated timbers, but all the layers are glued in the same direction. There's also what they call nail laminated timbers. This one's a little interesting. Older construction used to actually use this as well, but you lay the dimensional lumber on edge, and then stack the next piece of lumber parallel to it and nail it together, and then just keep stacking them together. And think of it almost might look like a butcher's block to some degree when you're done, but all running the same direction. And then there's a grouping they call structural composite lumber, and this covers LVLs, SLLs, PSLs. LVLs is probably the most common product on the market that a lot of people have most likely use themselves. So why am I talking about this? Well, it appears to be an innovative product that has been used in Europe and Canada for a number of years. Europe, I want to say about 15 years. Canada, I want to say it's around 8. It's heavy in the German-speaking countries. That's where the bulk of this product is made, touted as environmentally friendly and environmentally pleasing for the end user. So I guess the best way to phrase that would be to think of these two, think of them as it's LEED positive and both WELL building standard positive. LEED obviously is is the environmental components, like that it's good for the environment. Well building standard, if you're not familiar with it, is a standard that looks at the health and well-being of the end user. And I actually would like to do a new podcast entirely on the well building standard, because I think that's going to gain some traction. Reason I think it's going to gain some traction is I think it's just kind of human nature, right? Which is, you're happy to go to work in a building that is good for the environment, and that's great. But would you like to go to work in a building that's good for the environment or one that's good for yourself? And I think human nature is that you're going to be, we're all selfish, right? So the well building standard looks at air quality, water quality, access to exercise, access to good food. It looks at natural lighting based off of like blue light versus orange light and circadian rhythms, all that type of stuff. It looks for communal spaces with, and I learned this actually from Ann Peck of AEW, because they just recently did a well-certified building. They use the term biophilia. So it's basically just being around living organism, whether it's plants or actually natural products. So mass timber is looked at as a net positive on the environmental side. It's looked at as a net positive for the end user if you're in a space with a lot of natural woodwork. That's looked highly. But there are plenty of things that are innovative and effective and good for people, and they don't make their way to the United States. They stay in Europe, right? There's lots of concepts that don't make it. Let's think metric system. Or new innovative products that don't come to the market at all, okay, anywhere. For whatever reasons, people don't, they can't make them for cost reasons work, or people are just comfortable doing what they do. But I think this is a little different because people are starting to push to use this product. Lendlease, for example, who's both a developer and a builder, who they internationally used a product and they decided to build it locally. They were building a hotel near Huntsville, Alabama. It was a 32,000 square foot structure, 92 guest rooms, and it took an 11-man Lendlease crew 10 working days to erect the building, which is impressive, right, in itself, which was a 40% reduction in crew size and man hours, and it was done 37% faster. And proponents of mass timber claim that buildings can be built faster, safer, and with smaller crews than traditional construction. And by traditional construction, I'm paraphrasing here, but I would say like steel, concrete, typical, whether you're slab on metal deck or cast in place concrete or light frame stick built construction. So they feel like faster, safer, smaller crews. And out of the gate, if Lendlease is getting those type of numbers without a subcontractor base, or you know, maybe their own staff that's used to working or building with this product, if that can be done, it's actually quite promising. Because imagine once the subcontractor base in the market gets really good at it and efficient, if they improve on those numbers, then that gets scary, and CLT really becomes a something that people have to take a look at. And we look at so much at the idea of lean construction and modular. It's something that I think is going to be reckoned with. So other than Lendlease, I was babbling a little bit there, but other than Lendlease, what are some other things coming to the market, or kind of headlines that lead me to believe that people are looking to build with this or have built with it? In 2017, now granted this is Canada and not the U.S., the University of British Columbia in Vancouver built a 18-story, 170-foot-tall residence hall. They called Brock Commons, if you want to look it up. I'm sure you'll find plenty about it. It is the tallest timber structure in the world. It surpassed this building called Treat, which was in Norway, that was the prior tallest building that was 14 stories. Both of them substantial high-rises. High-rise, per the International Building Code, is 75 feet. Here in Massachusetts, locally, we have to, of course, do things differently. In Massachusetts, it's 75 feet is deemed a high-rise. And once you're deemed a high rise, a number of things come into play: addressable fire alarm systems, stair pressure, smoke control, stair pressurization, elevator pressurization. Probably after, this is more about the distance, but fire pumps. But there's all these other things that go into place once you have a high rise. And both of these structures triggered the high rise requirement in New Jersey. They're looking at building 500,000 square feet of mass timber office space. And how they're going to do it is three buildings. Then they get progressively higher, think small, medium, and large. And it's like in a step pattern. The largest one is going to top out at 11 stories. So there's at least one high rise there. I'm not sure what the medium sized building was. Milwaukee, they're looking to build right now a 7-story office building. Oregon had a 12-story building permitted, and it seems like for cost reasons that project has been put on hold. I don't know if it's permanently put on hold and canned or if it's just they're working on the numbers, but that's something to consider, right? The pricing is certainly an issue. A little bit further down the line, we'll get into what are some of the impediments preventing a more widespread use, and how's cost affecting that. In 2016, Minnesota built a 7-story high rise, the T3 Tower in Minneapolis. That is currently still the tallest in the United States. Newark will surpass that. If Oregon had gone forward, that would have surpassed it as well. Locally here in Massachusetts, folks might be familiar with the fact that the UMass Amherst Construction Department built a new building, and they built that out of mass timber. It's worth checking that out online. It's worth Googling mass timber, CLT, and just take a look at Google Images, and you'll get a feel for what a space looks like. You'll actually be really surprised. To me, it's very attractive. I would like to work in that type of space. You could think about even, it's wild, because think about the wood floor and ceiling, essentially. When that plank goes in, you have the ceiling for the floor below. You have the floor that you're standing on. You can do the construction, sand it, poly it, you're done. Finished ceilings, leave it exposed and almost have like a loft style. You could do ductwork and everything. You have some fire rating issues on the exterior, so you might need to go with a drywall. But actually, as far as fire performance goes, it does pretty well. It acts like heavy timber construction. And if you think about it, light frame obviously has a lot of challenges, or has a number of challenges, just by the nature of it being smaller in size. But if you tried to start a fire with, you know, a 14-inch diameter log or even a couple of them, you're going to have a lot of problems. So the massing of mass timber, mass, means that it does pretty well in fire conditions. So we see the general trend of people wanting to use this product, but I think mass timber has something else going for it. Not I think, it does, right? Which is code changes. The 2015 edition of the IBC, as well as the IRC, which is the International Building Code and International Residential Code, they both specifically called out CLT as an allowed use as type 4 construction, heavy timber. What does that mean to the average person? Well, let's take the UMass building, for instance, which was not a high rise. I think it was only 2 or 3 stories, so it wasn't going to be an issue with height for a building with wood. But because CLT wasn't a recognized product, it's more likely than not, I don't know the specifics of the UMass building, but it most likely was refused because it's not an allowed method or materials. They would have applied, the building department most likely, and that was a state project, so it might be a little different as well. I guess I picked a terrible example. But if you were to build with a product under the prior building code, you would go to the Board of Appeals, you would go to the local building department. They would most likely refuse it. They could look at the data and the local official could accept it. It's unlikely, or most often I would see, that the local AHJ would refuse it, because what they don't want. If there's an issue down the line, there's one individual sticking their neck out and saying like, oh yeah, they brought this in, even though it wasn't in the code, we felt it was good enough, we let them build with the product. Building officials are really hesitant to do that type of thing. So more often than not, what they'll do is they'll refuse it. It'll go to the Board of Appeals. But a lot of people think Board of Appeals, they think Zoning Board of Appeals, okay, which is usually a local, whether you go to a planning board or a zoning board, whatever your municipality does. But in cases of refusal for building code, that is a state agency because the state is the one that controls the building code. So you would then have to go to the State Board of Appeals for building code. That's a process, right? There's months involved with this. A lot of people look at that and say, okay, it's probably not worth the effort. Now, under the 2015 edition, you want to build with CLT and you meet the massing of the building, then you can get that permit issued as of right. That's a big hurdle and kind of the first step to getting this to be more commonly used. Some states, for example, have taken it one step further and are allowing mass timber buildings to exceed the 6 stories allowed by the IBC, which was what I was just referencing. Both Washington and Oregon have taken steps. Oregon in particular has passed an addendum to their state building code via what they call a statewide alternative method, a SAM, which is a state-specific program that allows for alternate building techniques to be used after an advisory council has approved the technical and scientific facts proposed by the alternative method. So basically they're saying, you can put this in ahead of time, let everybody review it, and it's basically a pre-approved appeal process that you can use as an option. And this would allow for, depending on the building type, up to 18 stories, which would be substantial, which would, as of right now, tie Brock Commons for the tallest buildings, mass timber in the world. On an international level, the ICC is looking for future additions, and I believe they're looking at 2021 that they want to go with that same 18 stories. I don't know where the 18 stories comes from, but that seems like it's going to be the next big leap in mass timber construction. The NFPA is also seeing this trend coming. They'll have a new chapter in their next edition of NFPA 241, which is safeguarding construction. That's 241, safeguarding construction. And the new chapter will be, I forget, it's either called large or tall wood structures. But let's for a second go back to the 12-story building in Oregon that was permitted and didn't move forward. Cost is obviously an issue with the product. There doesn't appear, or actually there's not a lot of producers in the U.S. But if you look at the measures being taken by a number of the states in the northwestern part of the country where they're using, you know, legislation, they're using colleges and universities to do research, and they're issuing grants, and they're really pushing for local lumber producers and mills to start producing this product. That increase in production is where we'll start to drive down costs, right? Right now, you don't have many producers. As more of those producers come on the market, and they need that government support because they don't want to start producing it if this is not the market. So you have a chicken and egg effect going on. What I think is super interesting, and my favorite construction startup, and I think it should be everyone's favorite construction startup, Katerra is betting big on CLT. They're opening a plant to produce the product for themselves. So let's talk about Katerra a little bit. So they're looking at it and saying, okay, this is a product that really suits modular construction. So what Katerra does is they produce modular or panelized buildings in a shop, go out and erect it on site. They're breaking the mold from the traditional modular that's kind of boxy and unattractive. I think you've heard me say in other podcasts, I want to say they started in 2015. In 2017, they became what's deemed unicorn, right? They got a $1 billion valuation. They raised $150 million 2 years after starting. In 2018, they raised, I think, either 600 or between 600 and 800 million. So they're doing some really interesting things, and now they've turned around and they are producing the product themselves. They're in the process of building a manufacturing plant to be able to produce the CLT that they're not getting from somebody else. They've also hired Michael Green Architecture, which is one of the leading mass timber designers in North America. So I'm reading the tea leaves a little bit here, but the tea leaves are getting clearer and clearer. If you're in construction, you should probably be betting on mass timber. It looks like Katerra is betting on it heavily. The code changes are all going that way. More people are building with it. The productivity levels are going down, and innovative companies are betting big on mass timber. Wow, that was a hell of a lot harder than it sounds, folks. That's my first one, so please go easy on me. It's a lot more difficult, like I said, than it sounds talking solo. So please give me your feedback. Did you like that? Did you not like it? Was I just too crappy at it? And maybe if I did better at the actual execution, you'd like that. But do you like that solo, single topic type thing? There's a few things I wasn't able to get to. I wanted to dig into more about the WELL building standard, address some more costs, sound, thermal issues around CLT. But I cut it short. I think 20 minutes is probably sufficient. I do want to clarify a couple things. I misspoke in there. I said Lendlease built a 32,000 square foot. It was actually a 62,000 square foot. So that might make those numbers make a little more sense. And for frame of reference, it was part of, they do, there's a privatization of military lodging. I think it's Army lodging, that Lendlease is the sole partner because they're the developer and the builder. And I want to say they have between 14 and 18 facilities already built. So those numbers are solid. They have a good frame of reference on building that product because it's repeat product. So they're getting really accurate numbers when they look at reduction in time and man hours. The other thing I wanted to correct is with Katerra. I said Katerra hired Michael Green Architecture. They acquired Michael Green Architecture. Katerra has been buying up construction companies, design companies, and building out their manufacturing spaces. One other thing I left off, I mentioned it was Sound Revolution was the band. The gentleman that I graduated with is Matt Fonte, and he's the lead singer and guitarist there. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys listening. Please, if you can, like it, share it, give us a rating. If you liked it or didn't like it, that would be great. Appreciate everybody listening, and definitely want the feedback on this one. Okay, take care, guys. Whoa, woman, keep your hands away.